29 past 8, it is the Morning Line program on KMBA for Friday. Yippee Skippy, Danny Preston here. Well, this morning we will do a little bit of work in our Wayback Machine on Morning Line in today's Our Community segment. Rhonda McBride joins us to bring us the story of Elizabeth Kudrin, one of the people you might not know about, but she was an important part not only of our community, but of our community's history as well.
Thank you, Danny. It's really great to be able to be here and share Elizabeth's story on our community. She lived her later years in Anchorage with her husband, George, and at recent memorial services, she was remembered as the great survivor. Mm. And she died just a few days after her 82nd birthday. So, but I want to turn back the clock here. She was born on Attu, a tiny island in the far west Aleutians, back in 1941. And that is the exact same year that the Japanese military bombed Pearl Harbor.
Right.
So a significant time. And then in June of 1942, they attacked Dutch Harbor. And a few days later, more than 1,000 Japanese soldiers invaded Attu, where they took the islanders as prisoners and then sent them to Japan. And Elizabeth was just a baby when all of that happened. And she and 40 others were ordered onto this barge that took them all the way to Otaru on Hokkaido, Japan's northernmost island. And they were basically, Danny, swept up by the forces of history with little that was within their control. And yet, Elizabeth's husband, George, says that when the war ended, she carried on with a quiet courage.
The matriarch of matriarchs, the last mom from Attu.
That's how George Kudrin describes his wife, Elizabeth, whose death leaves only one survivor, her older brother, Greg. George says Elizabeth never liked to talk about the war or the 3 years her family spent in captivity, a short period of time, but one that left its mark.
She used to sing in Japanese. She would go under the table and sing Japanese, so she doesn't remember that, though.
A child who sang in a mysterious language, something of a curiosity to the people of Atka, a neighboring island where Elizabeth's family was welcomed when the federal government refused to let them go back to their home in Attu.
And so really the capture of the Attu people in 1942 sealed the fate of Attu Island in many ways.
Ray Hudson has written extensively about the Aleutians and says the people of Attu Island are now lost to the footnotes of history.
But it was very important because these were American citizens. They were taken to Japan. Very high death toll while in Japan. And upon returning, they were not returned to their island.
An island that even today remains uninhabited.
I think it is a tribute to the resilience of the human spirit.
Rachel Mason, a historian for the National Park Service, has helped to chronicle the story of Elizabeth Kudrin and her family, and says at first, when the invading forces took over, not much changed.
The Japanese told the Attuans to pack as much as they could of their subsistence foods, and so they brought dried fish, and that, I think, saved them, because at least until their fish ran out, they ate fairly well in Japan.
After that, Elizabeth's mother tried hard to keep her three children alive. Each had a daily ration of watery rice, only a quarter of a bowl.
She was reduced to finding orange peels on the ground to feed her children during the time that they were in Otaru.
By the end of the war, sickness and starvation had claimed half of the Attuans, including Elizabeth's father. Ray Hudson says there was no way life could go back to what it was, and for a child of four, it was a confusing time.
If anything, it's the idea of having to begin again, because when she was evacuated to Japan, she was placed among people who didn't speak her language, as she didn't speak their language.
And in Attka, Elizabeth had to learn a new dialect of Unangam Tenu, the language of the Aleutians spoken by the Unangan.
So there's always this constant reinventing of yourself. And I think Elizabeth showed that resolve and a spirit of renewal that really is in the Unangan people.
Elizabeth's family says her life was full of hardship. She lost her first husband in a boating tragedy and outlived four of her five children.
Unangam Iramna, She was a good person.
Elizabeth's husband, George, says he marveled at Elizabeth's ability to channel hardship into kindness and compassion.
Seeing her example of strength and resilience in the face of all that she endured in her lifetime is definitely a real inspiration.
And a role model to her daughter-in-law, Crystal Dushkin. And perhaps even more important, the last link to understanding the historical trauma that even today affects the younger generation.
People spoke about it often enough, just amongst themselves. I would overhear them when I was growing up, that from a young age, I remember knowing that there had been a war, hearing about the war. Everybody would always talk about before the war. That was kind of how stories started.
Stories that frightened her.
Anytime I heard the plane flying overhead over our village, I would run inside the house because I thought the plane was going to drop a bomb on our village.
Crystal and her husband, Bill Dushkin, loved their life on Atka, but as today's Russian fighter jets and that Chinese spy balloon have crossed into Alaska's airspace, they say Elizabeth's story serves as a reminder that far-flung places like Atka and Attu are still vulnerable to being caught in the crossfire between nations. Attu is the only American soil occupied since the War of 1812.
It's just amazing that it even happened back then, that one of our islands was taken over by a foreign country. It could happen again. You never know.
Bill is Elizabeth's son, who she gave up for adoption. It's a complicated story, one that he began to understand when she gave him a book for his 30th birthday. One that had her picture on the cover, the little girl who would later become his mother, a prisoner of war, with the number 30 on the front of her dress. Elizabeth's husband, George, has two words to sum up his wife's life and legacy.
Ayagam Kayutu, strong woman.
And she was a strong woman indeed. And with Elizabeth, a part of Alaska history has passed. And it's a story that few Alaskans know, and even fewer Americans, Danny. So it was really great to be able to bring her story to our listeners today.
Yeah. So, Rhonda, you mentioned that fully half of the Nungum people from Attu who went to Japan perished there. What became of Elizabeth's family?
Well, her parents went there with 7 kids, and of course her father died, and then she lost 2 brothers and a sister, so there were only 4 left after the war. So, and the children that died of something called beriberi, I guess, which is a vitamin deficiency, so that right. Probably happened because of the starvation they faced.
I understand you had a chance to meet Elizabeth.
I did. You know, it was back in 2018 when they were celebrating the 75th anniversary of the Battle of Attu. And that's, you know, one of the bloodiest battles in World War II, but it's never really talked about. It's called the Forgotten War. But she was kind of just like her husband George described her, a woman of quiet courage. She didn't want to talk about it. I did have a chance to talk with her brother Gregory a little bit about that, you know, and he talked a little bit about how they endured the starvation. But just so you know, Gregory has a birthday next week.
Wow.
He'll be 83. And so, he is the last person from Attu, the very last. So, you know, these are great stories to share, aren't they? Because they're snapshots of things that we've forgotten.
Just nice little glimpses into the past. Rhonda McBride, thanks so much for joining us this morning.